Tom, we're going to quickly get to Leon Draisaitl's comments. For those who haven't heard them, here is Leon Draisaitl earlier today when asked about Jesse Puljujärvi and his request for a trade.
I don't think I'm the right guy to comment on it. It's he's a young guy that obviously doesn't feel like he wants to play for us anymore. So, but I'll leave it at that. I think there's people that will figure it out. Yeah, I mean, obviously you want guys to pan out and you want guys to help you on your team. And but again, it seems like he doesn't want to be on our team as of right now. Maybe that changes. But again, we have people that, get paid a lot of money to make those decisions.
In the room and on the ice with him, did you ever sense that he was unsatisfied in Edmonton?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to comment on it.
So there's Leon Draisaitl. Tom, you used to travel on road with the Edmonton Oilers. I know there's a lot of people think, oh, certain guys don't get along or anything like that. I never saw that with Jesse. He was a really quiet guy. What did you see?
Yeah, Greg, that's a good point. And people like to judge the room and assume, that there's cliques and this and that. And, this group is still generally pretty good from my observation and being around them. Most of these guys, when I was still, working with the Oilers and traveling with them. So it's not like that they just completely outcast guys. Like, listen, these are professionals, these are adults, and guys will go their own way at times. They don't always go for dinner together in a group of 20. But it's not like that they're shunning Jesse Puljujärvi every way of the process. So, more and more as this has kind of progressed, you just get the sense that it's the player who just wants to separate himself from the team and the organization, as opposed to the team turning their backs to the player. And Leon's going to play it the way what we heard from Leon. That's what he's like all the time. Really, he doesn't. The non-answer, and I'm sure he would be welcome back if he wanted to come back. Obviously, there's an opportunity for a right winger, a guy with skill and the pedigree that Jesse has to make a dent on this roster, but it's pretty clear that it's more so his end and his agent, Marcus Lehto, that kind of want to do their own thing and move on from the Oilers, and now it's everything that we speculated for the last, few months and even late last season is coming to fruition.
When you look at Puljujärvi and perhaps some market out there, let's assume he gets off to an average start in Finland, whatever that looks like. Let's say, 8 goals before December 1st or whatever that number looks like. Are you looking, if you're Ken Holland, to make this move, to move on from it? Or are you interested if you can change his mind after if he does get off to an average to good start there?
Yeah, Strutty, it's kind of funny because you get the sense that what I like from Ken Holland's perspective is he's not rushing to make this move. He's kind of letting it simmer. He says he's making his phone calls and doing his due diligence. But first of all, I mean, that Finnish league, it's not like it's easy to score in that league either. And guys don't generally light it up, do they, over there? I mean, Strutty, you spent some time over in Sweden, obviously, but it's not like these guys are blowing up the league with points left, right, and center. So, I don't know what the general consensus is among GMs and hockey people in terms of scouts are in regard to how these point totals transfer over to the NHL level. But, if he gets off to a good start and there's scouts from other teams taking a look at him, then the phone starts ringing for Ken Holland, and I'm sure he'd be more than happy to try to hash something out. But I don't know. I don't know how this is going to all play out for Jesse. And where's his game at is my question. Like, can he adapt quickly back to the European style of play? Like, has he changed that much in the few years that he's been over in North America in terms of adapting his game to the North American style of play that, it's going to take some time? Let's say he gets those 24 games and it takes him 10 to actually get going and figure it out again. Like, what does that do to a young player trying to, reestablish himself as a pro? Like, there's so many questions around this. It's it's kind of a it's a messed up situation in a lot of ways, but I don't know where it's going to go from here.
Tom Cazzola joined us. Oh yeah, it's messed up, no question. There was botching of development every step of the way. And you know, Pujarvi and his camp obviously hold some responsibility. I felt they didn't take the learning of the language serious enough. I think that limited and hampered in certain aspects of him maybe feeling more comfortable and what have you. If they asked for a deal, the owners didn't have to give it. And to me, just because an agent's if you're going to sign him, and Pujarvi signed on July 13th. After he was drafted in late June, which is normal for a lot of top-end picks. Usually they're signed fairly quickly. That's not a big surprise. But it was obvious that they'd given him the deal, kind of the unwritten, you'll be on the roster. So you won't, if you go to the American League, it won't be till after 40 games. So then you accrue a year of your entry-level contract. And, like, to me, that was just ridiculous. And the Oilers organization, you go back, they did it with Draisaitl. Magnus Pajarvi they brought in too early. I would argue they brought in Nail Yakupov too early. Like, it's been a trend that's happened with different GMs and different coaches for years and years and years. Are you confident that it stops now that Ken Holland's here?
Oh, yeah. You know what, Gregs? I truly feel since they've made the changes at the GM position and the coaching position, like, I get the sense that the mood right now is a wait and let's see attitude in regard to how it'll all be handled. And it almost feels like Ken Holland and Dave Tippett are like, okay, it's next man up. Your guy's turn to figure out this puzzle that is the Edmonton Oilers. Like, it's your Rubik's Cube now. You guys figure it out. In an ideal world, here's the other thing. In retrospect, too, remember when Peter Chiarelli came in and Todd McLellan came in and there was all this talk about letting these youngsters go and ripen in the minor leagues, or if they need another year of junior, we're going to send them back to junior. And we kind of saw that with Darnell Nurse and Leon Draisaitl. Like, they didn't necessarily make the team right out of camp. They went down to Oklahoma City when the Barons were still the team's AHL farm team. And then, but that lasted like maybe 20 games, and then both of those players were back in the NHL. So even that last regime, Kyler Yamamoto, another example of that, another guy that, if he wasn't ready, we weren't going to bring him in type of mantra, and that didn't happen as well. And so even though the Chiarelli regime was even saying, listen, we need these guys to simmer and ripen and become ready to challenge for positions, you're right, they were given positions. So if Ken Holland and Dave Tippett want to look at what the Oilers have done in recent history and say, well, listen, this clearly didn't work for us, or for them, pardon me, for the prior regime, we shouldn't do it either, especially considering, the fan base itself is, I think, fed up with this whole rushing guys along thing. And I think it's a slam dunk, easy way to win some brownie points early on in their tenure to just say, no, if our first round pick's not ready, we're going to send him back to junior, or we're going to put him in the minors if he needs to. And even a guy like Evan Bouchard going into this year, I know that there's a lust for a right-shot defenseman who can play on the power play, who can move the puck and get the puck out of his zone. But if he's not ready to be a pro at the NHL level for 82 games, don't have him here. And just go with, like a guy that takes a lot of heat's Matt Benning. I think you're better off leaving Matt Benning on the roster instead of forcing a guy like Evan Bouchard into a role that maybe he's not ready for. And I think it's a simple, easy thing that Ken Holland and Dave Tippett could do by just saying, listen, we're going to stick to our guns and do what hasn't been done here in recent history. And these guys have to take away a spot from a veteran player to make an impact here.
Let me jump in here. I disagree with some of what you're saying is that, they did say they're maybe going to try to let guys ripen, but when Craig McTavish came in, he said he's an impatient man and he wants us to get, to turn this around quickly. Peter Chiarelli, too, he said, I want to speed this up. And so by trying to make fixes via trades or signings, you don't allow your guys to ripen. And then you have to make moves to bring guys in and trading away guys that are in like a Petrie or a Taylor Hall or guys who are even, a Jordan Eberle, where they're still relatively young and have quite a bit of ceiling left to fill out. When you do those types of things, you set your group back. So I think Ken Holland, what he said, and I loved it in his press conference, Tom, he said, you know, he was asked, what's your goal for this year? He's like, we want to be competitive, but not at the expense of long-term goals. So let's say the Oilers are 4 points out of the playoffs come the trade deadline. If he doesn't do anything, I will applaud him. I'll say, that's the way you do it. If, though, he goes out and trades a draft pick or a good young prospect for a guy to help him for 2 months to try to get in the playoffs, that's the mistake that we've seen. A similar type one, you have to let it boil and let these guys simmer from the minors. And I know others fans don't want to hear it, but you've been seeing the same type of ideas in the previous. Let's do it right and let it build properly so that you're not talking about 1 year, you're talking about 5 years of run. And I've been saying this for a long time, and I think that's where they've gone sideways. And you have to let it happen.
Right. And I'll throw this one at you. Like, would you start Tyler, if Tyler Benson has a lights out start to training camp, do you have him on the roster, or do you let him go and become one of the best players in the AHL for a little bit and then give him a taste of the NHL if, you know, should or when an injury happens? Like, there's those types of questions that need to be asked too, because there's some people that are kind of penciling Benson in there. And is it right after this guy who's just played 1 year of pro, albeit a very strong season of pro where he led the team in scoring, do you just bestow a roster spot on a guy like that? I wouldn't. I would still send Tyler Benson down and let him be the best player on that team, you know, own it. And then finally, when there's an injury, which are inevitable, give him that shot, give him that taste, give him that idea of what it takes to be an NHLer full-time. And then if he can stick, sure, he sticks. But then if he can't, send him down, and at least he has in his mind that idea of what it takes to maintain that high level of play at the NHL level, so he's still hungry. That's kind of the thought process I think needs to occur with this team now. But, I mean, there are others out there that say, no, if he's the best player in camp, just let him have that third line center spot. And is it beneficial to a guy like Benson, who we're just using as an example right now, to play in a third line role when he should, you know, ideally probably be able to contribute offensively? That's my question that I throw back to you guys, and I wonder aloud about all the time going into this season.
Well, Benson obviously is going to play wing. He's not a centerman. So when I look at Benson, though, when you consider the other options, like, to me, there's a big difference between a 21-year-old and a 19-year-old. We're going to give Yamamoto a chance. Give me a break. But when we're talking a 21-year-old who's a lot physically stronger now than he was 2 years ago, who's coming off a great pro season, you know, he's here to compete in camp. And so I don't put him in pen, but I definitely don't put him on the outside in pen either. I see him compete because we don't know exactly what Nygaard's going to be like here. We don't know exactly. Can Jujhar Khaira be Jujhar Khaira 2 years ago, or is he still going to be a hit or miss type of guy? And the other thing is, the Oilers desperately need a good start. The advantage of Benson is comes out red hot, he's in the preseason, he's not only good offensively, he's making smart plays on the wall, because every scout I talk to, they say he's probably their best player on the wall on the left wing right now in the whole organization. And so as a coach and Dave Tippett, those are important things. And let's say he comes up and he has confidence, and Struds has told us the first 10 games of the regular season are a lot different than the next 10 and then even the 10 after that. So maybe he's ready for those 10. And then if all of a sudden his play falls off, you send him to the minors because he's only 21. It doesn't clear waivers. And I'm not this garbage about, well, geez, you're going to lose the player, he's going to be mad. Like, give me a break.
See, I think it's better. It's a stronger, though, Greg's, for him to go down to start the year.
Okay, but
and
if
you
he
bring him up.
But if he's ready and he's better than what you have to win in the NHL.
See, I don't think they have to win this year. I think they have to look at developing their prospects properly.
Sure, but you know,
because then you're repeating the same cycle. What's the best way? I think the best way for him is to be in the minors.
But there's lots of 21-year-olds in the NHL now. It's a difference between 21 and 19.
But we're talking about Tyler Benson. So I look at it like, I understand that there's a lot of financial implications. I'm just looking purely from a hockey standpoint. This team, if they keep repeating the same issues, they'll never get it on top. Have a guy that when he comes up, he stays. And then that's it. You know, so if Benson comes up and he plays for 10 games and you got to send him down.
But go look at Detroit, Struds. Go look at how many times guys came up for 20 games. They went back down. They've done that. Ken Holland, that's kind of his MO. Hey, if you're good, and you some of them start that year, some of them come up, and they go back down because they're ready for a time and they haven't found the pro consistency.
Sure.
But you don't just want to tell your guys, even if you earn it and you're great, you can never get a chance.
But Yamamoto earned it last year.
No, he didn't earn it. His preseason wasn't any good.
Some of the other guys, Puljujärvi had a good one. He started out. Like, preseason can be very misleading.
But again, Struds, those are teenagers. We're talking 18 and 19 and 21.
But they still, so if they put points up in preseason, it's like, well, you did everything we asked, but we're going to send you down to the minors. But they kept those guys. And it hasn't worked out for those two specific players. They had nobody else. So they have other guys.
And Yamamoto didn't put up any points in the last three preseason games when it's all NHL players.
Right, but Nygaard's, you know, they have all these guys that are wild cards. I'd rather put all the wild cards in there and then in two, you know, let's say 6 weeks, you know, you guys, you're not working. Let's bring up Benson. Benson, here's your shot. Yeah, and then he goes up and he runs up. Now, Gaetan Haas, minors.
So you think it's okay to tell your head coach, I want you to send down guys who are better right now and are more experienced than, because Nygaard's no different here. Like when you had Yamamoto, you could have thrown in a veteran guy. It's totally different. Benson and all the bottom six guys, like there's none of them that's an obvious stand other than maybe Alex Chiasson if we think he's a third line player. He's really the only one that you would say, okay, that's a guaranteed player. Maybe Jujhar Kara next.
But the role of the GM is to take care of the entire for the long term. Did the coach thinking right now? And I think that conversation has to happen. Say, listen, I understand you think Benson's better than these three guys, but I hope one of these guys can do it so we can get him just about ready. Then he comes up. Then maybe Kube Morody comes up in February. Now Bouchard's up at the end of the year. Like, and you start penciling these guys in as they come along. So that's the difficult part of being a manager. And a disagreement can erupt between GM and coach. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you dash his hopes at the start of, you know, how they have the meetings to start there. I don't think you dash a guy like that's hopes. You give him, you say, hey, listen, there's veteran guys in front of you. We know what you've done last year. We know what kind of player you could be. We know we're shallow when it comes to legit, you know, depth wingers on this team. You're going to get a look, but you got to take away a spot from a guy. So you give them, you throw them that carrot in front of them and dangle that. And they understand where they're at and be honest with them. But the other thing about this whole situation too, especially with guys like Benton, you can look on the defensive side of things too with Caleb Jones and Ethan Bear and obviously Bouchard. Now there's guys kind of finally bubbling and emerging and becoming good pros at the AHL level where it starts to make management take a look at these guys and say, well, if I brought them up, they're probably cheaper than some of the guys I've got on my NHL roster right now, and they could probably provide the same impact. That's finally the Oilers are at a point where they have a good problem, and we get to talk about it, which is something that we haven't had in recent years. And it's kind of, even though these haven't been the first-round guys necessarily, like guys have actually started to ripen in the shadows, so to speak, somewhat.
Tom, good stuff. We'll chat to you again. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ray.